Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Wednesday, 2nd of December. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we're going to be chatting with Mateta Tolari. I want to get a sense of what's driving our rand. Is it the South African economy, or perhaps is it the dollar, in this case, dollar weakness? I noticed the dollar euro is through 120. Sinet Mulder, she is from CISA. Record inflows into collective investment schemes during the pandemic, an astounding thought. And then Dina Sokola from the 12J Association. What's happening with the sunset clause, which is kicking next year, and future of 12J investing. A Monday question, after chatting with Isaac Odendahl from Old Mutual, was, are you worried about inflation? He was putting forward an argument that says, that inflation has perhaps been tamed. Most of you, however, disagree. You are worried about inflation. A couple of you actually mentioning deflation. I chatted with Adrian Seville about that some time back. But it does seem that we kind of get stuck in those 70s inflation fears and worries about it, even though we've seen little or no inflation in the last decade. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, $9.8 billion write-down in Redefine's property portfolio. The group says it's taken most of that pain. Loan-to-value is 47.9%. That 50% is the number they have to worry about. But they seem to have a plan. They seem to certainly have a way to keep it below 50 and keep that LTV under check, which makes them perhaps an attractive a stock worth looking at, put it that way. Business day, Nampak pins hopes on export as it suffers a $4.3 billion loss due to lockdown. They're looking at about a $1.5 billion revenue from exports into sort of the SADC region, Southern African Development Community. We'll see how that goes. Nampak has had a tough couple of years. Morning markets, US green, S&P up 1.1%, NASDAQ up 1.3%. Asia mixed, Sydney off 4 points, so hardly in the red. Tokyo up 0.1%. Commodities red, gold exception at 18.12 to the dollar. Per ounce, rand 15.27 to the dollar. Top 40 opening call, red open about 0.1% down.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mateta Tolari. He is, of course, head FX execution at RMB. Mateta, morning. Appreciate your time. I was having a look at some of the major currencies, and I noticed euro dollar at 120.8 through that 120 level. And it got me thinking, whenever our rand is strengthening, we always sort of think it's because we're the best country in the world and sort of take our own credit for it. It got me wondering, how much of our rand movement is really sort of SA focused as opposed to perhaps just actually dollar strength, or at the moment what we're seeing, dollar weakness?
Good morning, Simon, and I think welcome to the month of December. it's been quite a long year, if you want to ask me about it.
That it has.
And it has been, and I suppose 2020 has been one of those anomaly years. And I suppose also when you think about it, during the month of March, when we got the downgrade and at the beginning of the coronavirus lockdowns globally, we saw the rand touching 1926 all-time highs, or all-time lows, if you want to think about it. But, you know, I think over the past 9 months, it has retreated somewhat. And when we looked at the stats yesterday, over the past 6 months, the rand is obviously the strongest performing emerging market currency over the past 6 months, having returned like 13.5%. So if you had went short dollar rand 6 months ago, you would have earned a nice decent premium of around 13%. I suppose also what we are seeing, as you say, Euro dollar also above 120 now. It just shows you that, you know, there is dollar weakness in the market. But I suppose it's broadly risk on if you think about it. I mean, the global recovery is being anticipated by the vaccine breakthrough that we have seen over the past couple of weeks. There's expectations of stronger commodity prices, and obviously a firmer rand will kind of, you know, encapsulate all of this. And obviously, you know, last week we did manage to touch 1510 levels, mm-hmm. which is kind of the lows on two consecutive days. But as we saw, you know, the market does bounce back up, and obviously quite a lot of demand for rands at that point in time. But, you know, the interesting part, as we've noticed yesterday, was the local bond auction.
Yeah.
You know, the low demand shows the headwinds that are present in South African debt markets at the moment. And I think, you know, foreigners have sold more rand denominated bonds than they've bought this year due to the worsening budget outlook. And obviously, you know, our exclusion from the World Government Bond Index that we saw earlier this year. So I think, you know, over and above that, you know, the rand is obviously going to be in for a torrid time. It is the last month of the year. There is a couple of key event risks as we close off the year. You know, just this coming Friday, we've got the US non-farm payrolls. Next week, we've got, you know, the EU, the European Union GDP numbers, and obviously the ECB decision next week. And then obviously, whilst we're on a holiday on the 16th of December, we've also got the Fed meeting as well. So that's going to be also quite interesting to see how the rand breaks. And I think it's going to be quite interesting over the next few weeks, also leading up into, you know, the likes of Modena also, you know, and the likes of AstraZeneca, you know, trying to ask the US government just to make sure that they fast track, you know, the release of the coronavirus vaccines. And obviously, if that does come through to fruition, I think we could see further risk on in the markets. And obviously, you know, as we've seen in the local bond markets for South African, you know, investors, it's a case of all the offshore guys, you know, there is a lot of hot money floating around. I mean, we've seen all the global central banks releasing quite a lot of monetary stimulus. And I suppose all that hot money needs a home. And I suppose if you need some yield, that's where you come and invest in South African bonds. But, you know, as you say, I mean, it's obviously going to be quite interesting, especially given the fact that even yesterday we saw the government coming out with an announcement that, you know, between themselves and the public sector unions, you know, it's going to be another delay in the wage bill. And this is something obviously that the ratings agencies have said that government can't come to the table and obviously implement this wage bill cut that they have been speaking about for the past couple of years. So I think, you know, just from that end, you know, when you look at it from a global perspective and from a local perspective, there's a lot that the rand is riding on. But I suppose if we do see some more good news from a global front, it will filter through into the rand.
Yeah, and I like that point around the hot money. Trillions of dollars needs a home. Some of it comes down here to sunny South Africa. We'll leave that there. Mutete Tulari, head FX execution, RMB. Appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Sinet Mulder. She is a senior policy advisor at ASISA, Association for Saving and Investment South Africa. Sinet, morning. Appreciate the time. Chatting around record inflows into collective investment schemes during the pandemic. Before we dive into that, collective investment schemes, I'd be correct, that would include exchange traded funds, unit trusts, and as well as hedge funds.
Good morning, Simon, and thanks for having me. Yes, correct. The unit trust would include all of those, although this media release specifically is for unit trust in securities, mm-hmm. so that would exclude the hedge fund.
I got you on that. And what we see, and truthfully, it's a number which surprised me, but actually gladdens my heart. I mean, we saw 23 billion net inflows in Q1, 88 billion in Q2, and then 57 billion in the third quarter. And setting records. But what it tells us is that, you know, second quarter, pandemic, I mean, a crazy time for planet Earth. Investors didn't panic. They held on. They did what a proper investor should do, which is say, I'm a long term and I'm going to focus on that. And kudos to investors.
Absolutely. And like you rightly point out, I think all of us were quite surprised by the flows. We are glad to see that investors are in it for the long run. Mm-hmm. We are hoping that the financial advisors are also playing their role in advising their clients in that fashion to ride the storm, Have your goals in mind and invest for the long term.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, a lot of this will obviously be pension money that just comes off your paycheck every month, assuming that you're employed. But a bunch of this is going to be that discretionary where you sit with a financial advisor, or maybe you make that decision on your own and are advised in that sense. Do you have a sense of how much is sort of discretionary, whether through an advisor or an individual, but in other words, money which you could have sent somewhere else if you'd wanted to?
Yeah, about 26% of the inflows over the past 12 months came by directly from investors. But it's important to understand those advice that mm-hmm. people are using to make that investment might still be there. They are just not paying a financial advisor for that advice out of their funds. So the person who does the investment is the investor themselves. They might get advice from the financial advisor in the background and then go and make the investment. Through intermediaries, so that could be your financial advisors, we've got about 36% of flows. Mm-hmm. And then through our linked investment service providers, that's the platforms, we had about 21% of flows. And our institutional investors, like our pension provident funds, it was about 17%.
Okay, that's actually a lower number than I would have thought. What also struck me is where that money is going. Multi-asset portfolios around 47%, real estate down at 1%, equity only, SA equity is at 16%. Interest-bearing portfolios, 36%, they attracted 36% of the inflows. Is that sort of 36% a normal number, or has it peaked due to concerns around pandemic and perhaps people looking for a little lower risk and a little more certainty?
Absolutely. We have actually seen this trend, the move from the multi-asset portfolios more into the interest-bearing over the last 4 years. So that total percentage held in interest-bearing has ticked up in the last 5 years. 5 years ago, it was about 25%. Now it's been at 36%. So you can see that it's definitely been quite a big shift. The multi-asset portfolios have moved slightly down from about 50% 5 years ago mm-hmm. down to 47%. But the multi-asset portfolios on the longer term still, on a performance perspective, gave a little bit more value to investors. That being said, we do think the interest-bearing trend is due to risk aversion and possibly diversification of portfolios.
No, that's a good point. Also some diversification, but also it's been a bit of risk and a search for that yield, which is hard to find out there. And a last point, and I'm not sure if I read this correctly, were we seeing outflows from locally registered foreign portfolios? In other words, people sort of taking less into US markets and the like via the sort of locally registered?
Yes, the foreign collective investment scheme portfolios, and it's important for your listeners to understand, these are portfolios where you actually use your foreign currency allowance to invest. Mm-hmm. So this is not investments in rand. This is actually investments in dollars and pounds and the like. They have seen outflows. If you look on the UK market, they have had quite a tough year. In rand terms, down 5.4%. The US market's still quite strong in rand terms, but even that market has seen quite a downturn since about mid-August to end of September.
Sunette Mulder, she's a senior policy advisor to CISA. The data is absolutely heartwarming. It shows that investors, we're smarter than I think we're often given credit for. You know, when markets were crashing in Q2, there we were pouring in $88 billion, and that $88 billion is now worth a whole lot more than it was when we put it in. A poll for the day under lockdown. Were you adding to your investments? Options, yes, always. No, was worried or wanted to, but simply couldn't.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
chatting now with Dino Sokola. He is Chairman 12J Association South Africa. Dino, morning. Appreciate your time. You've been running around the country, not running, I suppose, flying, although you are a cyclist, but sort of talking around 12J. Has that sunset clause, which in essence, the whole 12J kind of, you know, no more deductions after June 2021, has that been sort of one of the key focuses of your association? Try and get some clarity, speak to National Treasury and see what's happening with that sunset clause.
Morning, Simon, and thanks for having me on the show. I think you're 100% right. Just a reminder, June of 2021, which is, you know, just a little bit more than 6 months away, is when currently Section 12J will come to an end. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it really is quite interesting, the timing of that, given where we are with COVID-19 in South Africa. You know, the 12J in its simplest form is a tax incentive that was designed to promote private investments into SMMEs and create jobs. As we currently stand, it's probably, arguably, one of the times that SMMEs have needed equity funding more than ever before. And we find ourselves in a situation that at a bit of a crossroads now, where we're not sure whether or not Section 12J is going to be extended, which for the industry is quite concerning.
Yeah, and I remember we spoke, you did a research report a few months back and we chatted, and one of the key findings was is it's job creation, and it's actually job creation at what is considered a decent price per job created. To clarify, the sunset clause, which is June 2021, that is a case of existing 12J investments will be fine. It's new ones that will then not be able to open because that deduction will no longer be allowed.
100% correct. So the way the law works is effectively, and this is commonplace of most incentives, Simon, is you know, government puts in place a long stop date for them to effectively perform a review of the legislation to understand, you know, how effective it's been, what it's done, and whether or not it should be continued. Now, existing funds that are already there and that have already raised money are fine. Where we are, it's very interesting. I spent a lot of last week with the Select Committee of Finance in Parliament talking to them around our views around why the legislation should be continued. In fact, later today, we have a working session with National Treasury where they went out subsequent to us having put out our industry reports and conducted their own research into Section 12J. And what we were expecting today from National Treasury is some feedback around their views on the industry. And we've got a very long agenda of questions that they've got for us as part of their internal review of the law.
It certainly, I mean, and as I said, we chatted previously, I mean, this process has worked. It has done what it's meant to do, which is give the tax break because you're investing into small, medium enterprises. We're creating employment in the space. It would be, I mean, and I don't want to sort of throw Treasury under the bus, but really this is a process, and 12J has, by and large, actually worked very well, certainly on job creation and investment into 12J with billions of rands flowing in.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a highlights package. You know, since 2015, when really 12J took off in South Africa, the industry's raised 9.3 billion rands. It's invested about 5.5 billion of that into 360 SMMEs around the country in industries, you know, which include renewable energy, student accommodation and education, hotels and tourism, technology, agriculture, and many more. I think in that process, we've created 10,500 jobs at an average cost per job, as you mentioned earlier, of 126,000 rand, which is actually quite cheap in comparison to what else one finds out there through our government's incentive programs. And, you know, I think for me, really what this is showing is that 12J has started to have a positive impact on the country. Now, the point is, if you look at a tourism and hotel industry as an example, you know, there's been a lot of debates around Section 12J investments in the past and whether or not, you know, an incentive that's designed to promote investments in SMMEs should have gone into an industry like hotels, where, you know, you get small hotels and you get big hotels. But I think it's fair to say at the moment that never, ever before has that industry needed equity investment more than it does right now.
Yeah, I take that point. Dino Sokola, Chairman, 12J Association, South Africa. We'll keep an eye on that sunset clause. We'll chat to you again when we get some clarity on that. Appreciate the time this morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. The poll question we're asking you: under lockdown, were you still adding to your investments? Yes, always. No, was worried. Wanted to, but simply couldn't. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning at 6:30 a.m. on the website or the app. Podcast available from 7 wherever you find good quality podcasts. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora. Thanks to you for listening, my guests, for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.